Start your week out right with some football tailgate fun at Wind River Resort and Casino inside Elements. Every Monday, come on down for some action-packed football and catch your favorite team on any of our 18 screens. Win a pair of Raiders tickets, prizes, a spin for $100 or nothing, or $599 kickoff for cash. Nowhere else in town offers this. More games, more ways to win, more prizes, more football fun. Grub on our stadium snack menu, half off until end of halftime. For details, log on to windriver.com. Football is better at the river. Play our $100,000 pro football promotion at Wind River Resort and Casino. It's a fun, easy, and fully automated pick'em-style football promotion. Simply swipe your River Club card, make your picks, and collect a receipt with your own weekly picks, prior week's results, and year-to-date standings. Top weekly picks win a share of $500.
Plus weekly drawings.
Top season final winners win a share of $5,000. Earn bonus plays every day.
Win $100,000.
For official rules and details, log on to WinRiver.com. Football is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio.
Radio. Is about to commence.
And good morning. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. And this is Trish Clark. And no, it's not Thursday. It's Friday. That's unusual, but Carl's out on assignment and Linda's taking some time to get ready for other projects. And so I've got the show today. And we'll be talking to a whole bunch of people as we go along, but welcome. It's 48 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 87, a low this evening of 56. On Saturday, another 86, and Saturday night, 57. On Sunday, 86, and a low of 57. It looks like we're going to stay with the high 80s all the way through the weekend. Monday, partly cloudy and a chance of rain sometime next week, but not in the midweek, but not looking real strong. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally and veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So, wow, they've got a huge storm going on the East Coast. I start getting mesmerized by the weather watch when a hurricane or something like that's going on, specifically because I have family there in Jacksonville, and I know that my sister has had to move to my niece's house, and they've got some high flooding issues going on. And so we just need to keep all those people in our prayers and hope that they're following the directions that are being given by the officials so that we don't not only put them into jeopardy, but if they stay behind and don't evacuate, then we put our first responders into jeopardy, and I don't like to see that. So hopefully everybody's following the directions that are being given, and we just pray for no loss of life in this thing in the United States. So this morning we have with us the cutest little border collie you've ever seen in your life, and he's sitting on the lap of Amy. Good morning, Amy.
Hi, good morning. So actually it's a she.
Oh.
Yeah, so her and her six siblings were found as strays, and when you have seven puppies that all look alike, you have to name them after the seven dwarves. So this one is Sneezy, and she is adorable. So she's about somewhere between 8 to 10 weeks, so she's still pretty little, and right now she just wants to get out of my lap and run around.
She does, but she's just cute. The markings on the border collies are, I mean, her little tail, the tip of it's white, and white paws, and of course the white nose, and she's eating your name tag now.
Yeah.
And she's as cute as she can be.
Yep, she's definitely a cute little puppy, and she's even still got the puppy breath, which I just can't resist. I have to keep smelling her mouth every time she yawns on me.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's a talker too. She talked on the news this morning, so you can hear her little
yes,
cute
you can
puppy
hear
noises.
Her. She's saying, come get me, I need a forever home.
Exactly. So she is available for adoption, and there are, I believe, two or three more. Don't quote me. It changes all the time. So, but there are some available right now for adoption, and we have males and females, and she is adorable.
Yeah. Can you hear her? She's talking to you, saying, please come get me.
She just wants to get down and run around.
Yeah, yeah. Off of Amy's lap and get into whatever she could get into around here. So tell exactly. us a little bit about the program. How many animals do we have out there at this time, Amy?
Right now the shelter's pretty full. We have everything you could imagine out there. You just have to come down, look, you know, if you find something that you're someone that calls to you. Sometimes we find the ones that find us. So,
well, I think that's always true. I think many times when I've gone to get an animal, I thought I knew what I was looking for. And then out of the corner, some other one just kind of goes to you and attracts you. And so if you need an animal in your life, that's surely a good way to go. Attended the Haven Humane Bark and Wine.
Oh, so much fun.
It was indeed. And I sold balloons and that's always fun and raise good money for a very worthy cause. So we want everybody to know that we have little Sneezy.
Sneezy, yeah.
Available. And she's just cute as she can be, and she just really wants to go home with somebody and have a life.
We want to thank all of our amazing donors for Bark, Wine, and Brew. It turned out to be such a great night for Haven, and without programs like that and without amazing people stepping forward, you know, we wouldn't be in the position that we are now. So we really just want to thank everybody who donated time and who donated financial support to us. And it was amazing. It was a great night. And we just, you know, we really want to say thank you to everybody who came out and supported us.
Yeah, it was a good turnout, though. It was sold out. Good food, as always, by Wind River. And again, so many people put in so much time and effort to make sure that these animals are taken care of. I know that Mark Story made an announcement that they have a very ambitious goal to go no-kill by 2021.
Yeah, so in the next 5 years, and it is ambitious. There is a lot of obstacles that we have to overcome in order to make that happen, but we are well on our way. And it's something that, you know, we've wanted to do for years, and obviously this is what the goal is for every shelter. And so, you know, we're getting our adoption numbers up and rescue's going great, which is part of my job at Haven, that I don't talk about a lot on here because, you know, I focus on Pet of the Week. But my job, the biggest part of my job at Haven is to get animals out of their shelter into rescues. And that so far is going really great. And we thank our rescues for stepping up and helping out as well.
The key to the no-kill, in my mind, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the spay and neuter program.
It is, and it's education is really what a lot of it is. And, you know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of obstacles to overcome, and a lot of it is educating the community on spaying and neutering and, you know, that pets are forever. And that's a big thing for us.
She's singing us a good song here.
She is.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Amy. Pet of the Week is always a high spot on Fridays. If you this little border collie is just stealing my heart, you just need to come down and see him or see her and take her home today because she definitely needs a home.
I know. I think we should have just interviewed her because she's just talked to us the whole time.
She's just been talking
She's got stuff to say. All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. Friday is my favorite. I look forward to this every week.
All right. Thanks so much, Amy. And can you believe that the Burger King on Cypress is celebrating 40 years of serving the Redding, California community? They need you to come out and celebrate this Saturday, September 8th. Well, Carl was reading that yesterday, and that was that's probably not a good ad because that was last week. So we'll just go and take a break, and we'll be back after this message.
Hello. My name is Julie Winter, and I am running for Redding City Council. I moved to Redding with my husband 27 years ago, raised our two sons here, and call Redding our forever home. I'm a family nurse practitioner with a master's degree from UCLA, and I'm proud to say that our medical office has won Best of the North State 4 years running. I serve on the City of Redding's Community Development Advisory Committee, as well as the board of my local professional organization, and Advance Redding that manages the Civic. I am a graduate of Leadership Redding and a member of numerous civic organizations. My commitment to grow our local economy, leverage our city's assets, and make our streets safe again is unfailing. I believe that Redding's best days are still ahead. Join me to create a thriving, prosperous city for generations to come. Go to juliewinter.com, visit my Facebook page, and vote Julie Winter for Redding City Council on November 8th.
Paid for by the committee to elect Julie Winter for Redding City Council.
Must be Budget Blinds, because only Budget Blinds brings a showroom of great window fashions to your door. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janet. Love the new designs.
colors and patterns you can't find anywhere else, brought right to your door. Exclusive product lines for every budget, including Roman shades, rugs, pillows, and so much more, to transform any room from ordinary to extraordinary. Plus, we do all the measuring and installation for you. No more running from store to store or taking your chances online.
Budget Blinds is a home convenience concept. Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. We'll come out, we'll bring all sorts of different samples, we'll listen to your need. Being a franchise owner of Budget Blinds, a big part would be our warranties. Our warranties are unbeatable. With no questions asked, no matter what happens to your window coverings, you're covered.
So when you hear, think Budget Blinds.
If you're in need of custom window coverings, give Budget Blinds a call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at budgetblinds.com.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Redding Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Redding more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Redding Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you. Powerful together.
Holiday Harbor, we've got it all for you. But we're more than just great houseboats. We have the vacation you have been looking for without the drive or airport hassle. Fishing boats, patio boats, 47-foot party cruisers, wakeboards, jet skis, and stand-up paddle boards. If it floats or you can pull it behind a boat, we probably have it for your enjoyment. Visit Holiday Harbor, exit 695 of Interstate 5, or go to LakeShasta.com. Holiday Harbor, your own vacation in town.
Let's go to Lucan, Texas.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. This is Trish Clark. It's Friday. It's 48 degrees in downtown Redding. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. Or if you have a comment or a question, give us a call at 605-4567. I know the chat room is talking about the sales tax measure. I concur with you that it's unfortunate that the city of Redding and the county actually didn't get together with the other two cities and make this half-cent sales tax a county-wide sales tax, because all of the jurisdictions, the only one that now has it is the city of Anderson. They passed theirs successfully a couple of years ago, but the only one that now has it is the city of Anderson. All of the jurisdictions need the revenue, and certainly the city of Redding, even if they're able to beef up their police system and what have you, if we don't have the corresponding money going in to help the programs run by Shasta County, it's a system. It can't work. And you've heard me say this before. You put a whole bunch of officers out on the street in the city of Redding and they start arresting a bunch of people. If you don't have a jail to put them in and you don't have a probation department and a public defender's office and a district attorney's staff and all of those accoutrements that go together with that, nothing happens to the prisoners. Nothing happens to the people that are being arrested, and they're just, it's a revolving door. And so at some point, we have to address it as a whole system. And I think as county-wide sales tax measure is appropriate. I'm sorry they didn't get together and do that in this move, because I think every time that the people are hit with a tax, it becomes onerous. And it would have been better if everybody in Shasta County had voted on it this one time and got it over with. That probably isn't going to happen, and we don't know what the future of the city of Reddings is. I think, in my mind, if I was in the city of Redding, I probably would vote for it, because I think a half cent is not that great amount. It's still lower than a good share of the rest of the state, and we do have our sister city down below in Anderson collecting that money. Another subject that I just want to jump to just kind of quickly that I've been following that's interesting is the issue with the good president and all of the things that he keeps doing that are so totally and completely illegal. It turns out, according to some papers that I picked up the other day, that the good president has been using money to prop up Obamacare beyond what he was supposed to. It came out with the Government Accountability Office that the Obama administration has been breaking the law. Go figure. Anyway, they've been doing that to keep Obamacare afloat. They to keep health insurers from dropping out of Obamacare, the Health and Human Services Department raided $2 billion in taxpayer funds intended to pay down the deficit and dealt it out to the health insurers. According to Thomas Rowe from the Institute for Economic Policy Studies. And they said the report confirmed the Obama administration has been illegally stiffing the American taxpayer in order to prop up the crumbling Obamacare system. And, you know, the interesting thing about Obamacare, and I just, it's played out exactly as we said it would. And he said, you know, really should be a single payer system. And that's where we'll be eventually, but we can't do it right away. And that's kind of what he said in a nutshell. And it's right on schedule to do exactly that. I think it's been programmed to go broke right about now. The next president, Hillary Clinton, in their mind, is going to have to say, well, you know, the only way to save it. And I have to laugh that they think we're so stupid. They don't get what Bill Clinton and everybody else is out there saying. Now they're agreeing, you know, it's just not working. The only way you're going to save this is if the government takes over the whole system. You can't have these private people in there. You can't have this private companies involved in it. We're just going to have to go to a totally single-payer system, just like Europe and everything, even though we know that doesn't work. It's proven that it doesn't work in Canada. It doesn't work in London or England. It hasn't worked any place that's been tried. But they're certainly on a path to go ahead and do exactly that. So if you have thoughts about that, give me a call and we can talk about that. Yesterday we had the candidates from the Anderson City Council. You know, this election is just looming right on us as we go down the line. And I there's so many issues and there's propositions. Hopefully Carl and I can get into those propositions over the next a few days and weeks before the election actually comes up. But, you know, we've got less than 30 days before the election, and it's a huge decision to be made out there. I'm hoping that everybody can get their arms around what we're facing and realize that I had a conversation just yesterday with someone who just is very irritated by Donald Trump. And I had to remind them that you know, he's a businessman. He's not a politician. He is who he is and in fact has been admired for his business acumen and his ability to move through the financial system, the same thing he's now being beat up for by the same people who praised him as the comeback kid when he did it in went bankrupt several times, lost a lot of money, and then recovered. And they thought that was just a great thing. Now that he's a very bad person for having done that, even though it turns out that perhaps Hillary Clinton didn't pay any taxes last year either and actually used those same clauses in the IRS system to avoid her taxes several years. So, you know, it's all in what we hear. And I reminded my friend that we know exactly what Hillary Clinton's going to do if she's elected. She's told us and echoed and we've watched her for 30 years and we're in real trouble if that happens. We also know that if she's elected, we are literally going to lose control of our courts for our lifetime and certainly our children's lifetime. We don't know what Donald Trump's going to do for sure. We have high hopes of some of the things he can do, but I think we don't have a choice but to give him an opportunity, and we have to vote him into office. I don't like what it looks like on the other side of this. If Hillary Clinton is elected, we know for darn sure what's going to happen, and I think we just don't have an opportunity to think about it in a different way than what we know she's going to do. So Donald Trump promises a lot of things that make me feel good. I'm hoping that there's a lot of people out there who voted in the primaries who are showing up at all of the functions that he holds and all the stops that he makes, and that they're just not telling people what they're going to do. It's my understanding when they do these polls that they poll mostly likely voters, people who have voted in the past, those who voted in the past elections. And I think a lot of the people who are going to come out now and who are going to vote, they haven't voted in past elections, and certainly not the last 8 years. They stayed home from the polls, and I think now they've just said, you know, enough is enough is enough. And the political correctness is killing this country. We've got to get out, and we've got to make ourselves known. But I don't think they're talking to people about it, and I don't think they're answering polls. So my hope is that they're all going to turn out on election day, and that the voter fraud in this country is not so rampant that their vote might actually be counted and not outnumbered by the illegal aliens that were registering to vote in the state of California, and the prisoners that were going to – the felons that were going to register to vote, and all of the other things that – that you can just make you crazy if you pick up the paper in the morning and start actually reading the content. Just reading the headlines can make you crazy. And then if you actually read the article, you realize that the headline probably doesn't have anything to do with the article in the first place. And then the information contained in each one of the articles, in my mind at this point in time, it is not factual at all. It's what they want me to believe, and it's their opinion. And I think that's kind of widespread, certainly in the Record Searchlight. Have they just gotten a whole lot more liberal all of a sudden, or am I just paying more attention? It seems like every article is tagged with just the other side of where I'm at on most any issue. So, lots going on in Shasta County. We've got these issues in coming up on the ballot with the measures, and we've got Redding City Council, Board of Supervisors races, a lot of different things to be looking at. I hope you're going to read about the propositions. We have, gosh, how many are there? There's, 10 or 12 propositions on the ballot this time. Everything from tax measures to health care funding to revenue bonds and state prescription drug purchases, marijuana legalization, the ban on the plastic bags. I thought we decided that already. Didn't they come out and ban plastic bags in the state of California? And now it's one more try at it. They're going to try to get the people to vote on it. They just don't want to take the answer they get most of the time, it appears. And I don't know what we do about that, but I guess we just continue to vote on it till they get the answer that they like. This portion of the show is brought to us by Home Helpers. Home Helpers In-Home Care Services is more than an in-home health care agency. We're your extended family when family can't be there. We're a locally owned, trusted provider of quality, compassionate in-home care, and we customize our home care solutions to your unique situation for an affordable solution that keeps your loved ones where they're happiest, at home. This business is owned and operated by Sharon Clark, my good friend and co-host on the first Thursday of every month. And they're located at 2620 Larkspur Lane. Give them a call at 226-8350. It's 50 degrees in downtown Reading, and the weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. We'll be right back, and we have a guest coming up. We're going to talk about the Northern California Military History Show, first annual, on the other side. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Redding Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Redding more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Redding Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you, powerful together.
Hope you're doing fine, just to know.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North Strait. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms. Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professional NRA instructors provide the most complete CCW training in Northern California. For a limited time, NFI will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take a basic CCW course. You can register online at readingccw.com or call NFI at 999-1822. Ted Leidy and his team are skilled and professional and really nice people and take the time to really get you going in the right direction with your NFL license and your concealed carry permit. So, good morning. We are joined now by some gentlemen from the first annual Northern California Military History Show. We're joined with the president of the organization, Wal McMahon, and the treasurer, Dean Barker.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we got this going on October 8th, 9 to 5, at the Benton Air Center. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, that's this Saturday. It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, goes till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We're going to have a lot of vintage military vehicles there.
And aircraft.
Say it.
Vintage aircraft also.
Yeah, some vintage aircraft. We've got some World War II aircraft come flying in. We are going to have vehicles such as half tracks. That's a World War II vehicle. There'll probably be some ambulances, jeeps, of course, some artillery pieces, some
trucks, jeeps. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a really great show. We've got a lot of people showing up, so I mean, there's going to be a lot of stuff that you just normally don't see.
Yeah, military collectors are kind of a specialized hardcore group, and they face obstacles, first of all, acquiring their stuff. You know, it's just not everywhere you can find it. Restoring their stuff, because the parts are hard to get. And once it's restored, the stuff's not usually street legal, so they have a problem moving the stuff. And so this takes real dedication, and these people are hardcore, and they've got it together out there. And this is your chance to just kind of walk around these things, put your hands on them, imagine what it's like to drive one or use it in combat. There are several self-propelled artillery pieces, which are not American. They're British-made, but they're similar to American weaponry. And several Jeeps, highly restored. I have a friend coming from Sacramento who has a complete U.S. Army Air Force uniform and paraphernalia. Yeah. He's a hardcore collector himself. He comes dressed in World War II, you know, brown. There was a distinction in the Army between the brown boot and the black boot Army. He comes in brown boots. He's got the Screaming Eagle patches. And anyway, he's looking forward to this.
Well, it sounds exciting. So it's going to be out there, and they're like static displays. People can walk around, talk to the people who've got them up.
That's correct.
Oh, yes.
And then the aircraft, they will be flying in at different times. And
Yeah, there's going to be some vintage World War II aircraft flying. I know that there's a what we used to call a bird dog, an O-1, which is a tandem seat, two-person aircraft used for spotting and reconnaissance during the Vietnam War. We understand there's a real good chance. We got kind of late notification to them, but there's a good chance we may even have a flyover by the Reno Air National Guard.
Wow.
So the local CDF is going to bring their Cobra helicopter. This was a main piece of equipment used in the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
But they've converted it into civilian use. But you'll get to see, feel, and touch the aircraft. So
we'll also we're Northern California Veterans Historical Association. We have our own kind of iconic display, which is a Vietnam era Huey helicopter trailer mounted. Our joke is every grandchild in Shasta County has been photographed in the front seat.
Sure.
But we'll be there, and it serves as a real rallying point. People who used to jump out of these things, like Dean here, they look at this thing, and it just brings back a whole flood of memories to them when they do it.
Well, I think it's important that we maintain this, and I encourage everybody to bring your children out, because
yes,
this is an opportunity to talk to them and talk about the real history of this country. And the pride and that we have in our military and always have had, kind of as opposed to the story that's being told now. So this is a really good opportunity.
Absolutely.
To bring your kids and your grandkids and come out. You have food there? Tell us about that.
They're going to have a luncheon, which will be kind of an Oktoberfest-style lunch. That's, you know,
Hofbräu is what you mean.
Hofbräu, yeah. Oktoberfest, Hofbräu.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the cost of that'll be, but that'll be there.
Actually, Jim Ostrich, the airport manager, is also staging a breakfast. That didn't make it into our brochure here.
Wow.
He wanted me to mention that on air. He's trying to convert the airfield from just a pit stop for light airplane users into more of a community center. He staged the Father's Day fly-in. There's a Young Eaglets Day, I think, on the 15th of this month, which young people interested in flight and flight careers can put their hands on the stuff, and I think there's even rides, and he shows movies in the hangars there. He's trying to make it a more family friendly place.
Used to be, I can remember that a lot of people used to go there for breakfast and
yeah.
lunch. Used to be a place. Of course, my husband was a pilot,
yeah.
and
right.
so maybe that's why I know that. And we
yeah.
used to, well, we used to do
Airport
that a lot.
The Airport Cafe has gone through several or number of turnarounds and ownership changes, but the one that's operating there now under Jim's leadership is really good. I had lunch there yesterday, and it's a hangout for flyer types, but it's also just good food.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend, his name just came and went again out of my mind, Jack
Kilpatrick.
And I just looked it up, and so I would have it, and I just his name just went right out of my mind once
that
more.
That happens when you get older.
That's he. Kilpatrick, you're right.
Yeah,
Jack Kilpatrick. Yeah. Is his display going to be
oh,
there
yeah.
and stuff?
Oh, absolutely. We love Jack.
Yeah, really, he wouldn't miss this opportunity.
Jack and Carol have been part of my breakfast down at the Frontier Senior Center for many years.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And they help serve with that, and Jack is so proud of his things that he has.
Yeah, Jack is a Korean War veteran and just an amazing guy, just really a super guy to be around. He's now got two displays. He's got his Jeep with a trailer and an M37, which is a 3/4-ton military truck that he brings.
And lots of films and lots of conversation and great. He loves to give shows.
Yeah.
I just can't encourage the people out there in the community to take the time to come out and bring your kids and plan on spending some time, because there's lots of things to learn and many educated people that really know what they're doing. There's going to be some reenactors there.
That's correct.
The
brochure says pinup girls. That's actually a joke. I don't think we have any.
Is that pinup girls? I missed that.
Well, I think pinup girls are pictures anyway.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, I think, yeah. Isn't that what you had? Betty Grable?
Every GI had a pinup girl. You know?
And the person putting this on wanted to emphasize that vendors are welcome. There's no buy-in fee. Let me give you a phone number real quick. 739-2562. His name is Jerry Grachowski. Just call him up and say you'd like to bring whatever it is, you know, your macrame or tie dye or whatever. And there's still room.
Oh, okay. And so if the vendors of any kind that would like to come
vendors
out and
welcome.
Set up, they're welcome.
Yes.
And no, Bob, wow, that's incredible, because you got Christmas coming up and
yeah,
opportunity to.
Yeah, this will be the first annual, so we're still kind of
we're down on the learning curve, but we're learning. Yeah.
Okay, so again, it's the first annual Northern California Military History Show.
Mm-hmm.
That just brings up all kinds of thoughts in my mind about all the opportunities. And again, I have to keep going back to how important it is to educate our children and our grandchildren about all of this history that's available and what it meant to the world they live in now.
Exactly.
And how all that comes together. So
To honor our veterans.
Right. That's our organization's mission, is primarily educational. And we take our displays to schools. This is going to be the busy time of year, the run-up to Veterans Day. There's a number of schools want us to come and set up our display and, you know, educate children, like you're saying. Get a chance to look at our displays, walk through the helicopters, and just talk about their own family histories. Many of them do have aunts and uncles who are herd veterans, so there's a point of contact there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, again, you can have lunch, you can have breakfast, you can spend the day out there and wander and actually touch and get in and out of these wonderful military vehicles. And anything else you'd like to tell us about the day?
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
I think it sounds exciting. It sounds like a lot of opportunities, and the weather's supposed to be good this weekend,
right?
Yeah,
we were sweating
bullets.
Great
temperatures. Oh, yeah, I bet you were.
Yeah.
And when the rains hit last weekend, you're going, oh, no, here we go.
No, it looks good for us.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it looks like it's going to be in the 80s through the time, so it's good to wander around on the tarmac and not get sunburned and not freeze to death.
Exactly. Right. It'd be perfect weather for this. Uh-huh. People will really have a great day if they come out there.
All right. Well, okay. I thank you all for coming in and sharing with us. And we look forward to everybody going out October 8th. That's this Saturday.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. Yeah. Absolutely. From 10 to 5. And go out and take some time and take your kids and grandkids, because they need to see this and go out and mix with the real heroes of our world.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in.
And our thanks to Carl Bottle. So.
Absolutely. Carl and Linda are really involved in the community and certainly the veterans community.
Yes,
And we like supporting and giving information to the community about all these great things. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And I want to encourage everybody out there to, you know, come on. There's so much going on in our community, and I've got a whole stack of things here that I need to remind everybody about. But what you need to do is start early in the morning and get yourself dressed, and then just go off and start going to all of the things that are going on around our community. I could laugh at people who say, oh, Redding doesn't have anything going on. There's never anything to do. And I sit here and I look at all of the things that are happening every weekend in our community, and there's like 85,000 places to go on any given weekend, and you just have to, and you can do them all. I mean, you really can if you just start make a list. Look, there's all kinds of opportunities to look at the date. There's things online that we can look at to tell us what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And you can start out in the morning and go have breakfast in one location and then have lunch someplace else in the county and then maybe dinner someplace else and then go dance someplace in the evening after you take the kids home. I mean, you can have a full day in Shasta County and sometimes never leave Redding, but go to Palo Cedro or Anderson. So look around, and you know, the important thing is to support these local organizations like the military history. This is such important stuff in our community. An opportunity to learn and actually touch the vehicles and look at the aircraft and talk to the people who have this history. It's an invaluable education for your children and your grandchildren and even yourself. A lot of us, I didn't happen to have military close in my family. My father kind of missed the draft between World War II and Korea. And so he really wasn't in the military, although he was always very supportive. I didn't have a lot of uncles, so that wasn't – I mean, I just wasn't in a military family. But I always have supported and been so close to the military in Shasta County and honor so greatly what they've done and the impact it's had on my life and your life in the country we live in. So we have to get back to this country, as far as I'm concerned, to honoring those people, the military, our first responders. I hate to even give notice to the Kaepernicks or whatever his name is of the world that continue to dishonor our first responders and our military by their actions during the salute to the flag and the national anthem. And I'm going to tell you right, for me, I like professional football. And I will continue to watch a game, but I'm being very careful about watching that portion of it. And if there's anybody who is dishonoring, then that team's done. I'm not watching them ever again. And that even includes my Raiders, who I just would have a hard time walking away from. But if one of their members takes a knee, it's all over. I'm just not going there. And I think that we as a nation and as a country need to take a stand at this point and just not allow that. So we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Reading Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Reading more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Reading Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you, powerful together.
This is your life, good to the last drop. Doesn't get any better than this. This is your life, and it's ending 1 minute at a time.
Tired of watching California burn down around your ears?
Tired of watching your rights stripped away?
Finally ready to do something about it?
Join us,
Red Smith
and Wynn Carpenter,
in the fight for the Jefferson Free State.
Every Sunday, 8 to 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
It's only after you've lost everything that you're free to do anything.
We don't make no party out of loving.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Friday. This is Trish Clark. Got the show this morning. Our guest at 8 o'clock is going to be Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Hope you have some questions you're going to call in and talk to Doug about. We're going to ask him to give us an update on what's going to happen after the election, perhaps with the lame duck session that's being set, that has been set up, and what he looks for in the election and all a bunch of other things that we've agreed to discuss when he comes on at 8 o'clock. For now, we've got about 10 minutes. If there's something that's just weighing on your mind that you'd like to talk about, give me a call at 605-4567 or jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. I'm not able to see the chat room, but Jared will give me information if something important comes in there. So if there's something you'd like me to talk about or address, let me know. You know, we got the interesting race in District 3. for the Board of Supervisors. And I suppose they say it's a tough choice between Pam Giacomoni and Mary Rickard. You know me, I'm not politically correct. I think Mary Rickard is your choice, so I'm encouraging you to vote for her. I think that she's very qualified and brings a lot to the table, so I'm hoping she's an addition to the Board of Supervisors. There's so much going on in our communities with this homeless thing and the lack of money, and I'm not sure how we address all of it, given that so much of it is caused by things beyond our control. But I'm pretty sure that the answer to our problems is not more committees and more studies. I think we know what the problem is. I think that we need to start addressing it. And I think, in my mind, the best solution to a start to the problem is to create a better economy in Shasta County. And we do that by allowing businesses to establish quickly when they have an idea. The more people that we can put to work in Shasta County, the better off we are. There is a certain number of the homeless population that, in fact, are just between jobs. And if we could get those people off the streets and into employment, that not only creates jobs for them and gets them out of the homeless population, it also adds to our economy and gives the cities and the counties more money to throw towards the problem of the homeless population that we can't put to work. But we just studying it and trying to throw money at that problem without any hope of turning it around just doesn't seem to be an answer. And it's very frustrating to a lot of us who sit out here and watch what's happening. Down in my city, we seem to have had a pretty good handle on it for a while. The rumor on the street, and it is just a rumor, I don't know, that there's been a busload of people dropped in the city of Anderson within the last couple, 3 weeks. And I'm believing that's probably true, because all of a sudden there's a presence of many of them on the street that hasn't been there for over a year now. I know I've talked about it before, that the city of Anderson and the police department down there, Michael Johnson, the chief, has been very aggressive in solving the problems. They've gotten with the private property owners who have the property that's a good location for homeless camps. And they've encouraged those people and helped them in many cases to clean those areas up so they're patrollable and don't make good locations for them to hide. By working with the private property owners, if those people are on private property, you have a whole lot more options to get rid of them and get them to move on. Public property makes it a whole lot more complicated, because then you have to, even if you get them to move on, you have to store their property, and you have to do all kinds of things. When they're on your private property, you have a lot more options to just move them on and clean the area up. So I think those kind of things need to continue to happen. But bottom line, you can't just keep giving them free stuff. And I think that's what we tend to do. We think, oh, well, you know, we want to help them. The best way to help them is to get them into some kind of service where they get over their drug and alcohol problems. There are places available for them if they want to help themselves, and there is help available. But just giving them a handout and continuing their bad behavior just isn't the answer in my mind. I know there's a lot of mental health issues. I'm aware of that, and I know that some people literally are going to have to be taken care of by society forever. But I don't think that's the majority of them. I think there's a lot of people out there who like their lifestyle. They expect that we're going to take care of them, and at some point they need to be convinced that no one's going to take care of them, and they need to get in control and take care of themselves. I think if we start sending that message as a community, perhaps they'll either move on, or they decide that no one's going to feed them and take care of them, and maybe it is incumbent upon them to take it upon themselves to do it. That may be a little Pollyanny, but I honestly believe that given two choices, a lot of times they're going to take the easiest path. So if you take away one of the choices and the only choices to take care of themselves or totally fail, perhaps they'll choose to take care of themselves. I don't know, but it's worth a try. I don't think just continuing to come up with ways to help them continue their bad behavior is the answer. I know the business owners around here, and I talk to you on a regular basis. You've had it with the population that continues to destroy your economy and your businesses. Several businesses have been robbed. It came up in the show yesterday. A small business that's owned by a private entrepreneur suffers a $30,000 loss. Not only does that put them out of business, but perhaps the two or three people who were making a living income and keeping their families afloat have now been put out of work as well. It's a vicious circle, and we have to start going in the other direction with it. And I think there is a way to do that, and I think part of it is when you have somebody that comes into your community and they want to start a business that's eventually going to have 20 employees, the message from the top, the board of supervisors, the city councils, needs to be to that planning department that you do everything in your power to get those people into their project, moving along, and start those jobs as quickly as you can. And however that happens, that mindset needs to be, how can I help you, not how can I make your life difficult. Having dealt with many of you contractors and people who do these businesses in the past, you know what I'm talking about. And you go in and it's one hurdle after another. You go in and you get your list and they tell you have to do 10 things. You get those done. You come back and they go, oh, and by the way, you have this many more things you have to do before you can complete this. And I guess where the mindset in the bureaucracy doesn't blend with the mindset out in the real world, time is money. A project that pencils out on day one with 10 things to do ceases to be profitable or even feasible after you've spent 2 years trying to get it permitted. Now it no longer makes any sense to even do it because you're going to be bankrupt before you ever get the business open. I don't know why we can't. Anybody got any suggestions about that? What can we say to the people that work in the planning department or the people who hire them to make them understand that time is money and we need to get that message across to the people who are running those things? We listen to the city council candidates and the board of supervisor candidates every cycle, and they're going to do that, and we need more police, and we need more jobs, and we need to create jobs. I would remind you that government doesn't create jobs. Government gets out of the way of the private entrepreneurs and the people that build those jobs and makes it feasible. We set up a system that makes it their ability to go forward with their projects so much easier. But we shouldn't be in the business of trying to create the jobs, and we shouldn't be in the business of trying to control what they do after any further than we have to. I don't know what it is about the bureaucracies that we've set up that think they need to keep their finger right on that all the way through it, and it just doesn't work. I remember when I was on the board, we used to try to convince them to adopt those rules and regulations that they had to adopt because of state and federal law, but not to try to go beyond that. There's no reason to try to make it more onerous or put in regulations that we don't need for them to adhere to. Doing business in the state of California is difficult enough. Then you lay the federal layer over the top of it. We don't need to lay more layers of bureaucracy at the local level. Let's get them in here. Try to enhance jobs from areas of high crime. If we could clean up our crime here, and we have so much to offer in Shasta County, we can invite people in here, some of these big corporations, to build a job. Talk about that on a regular basis. We've got a lot of stuff going here to try to create a workforce. It's one of the other areas that Shasta County is a little slow in, and we can put our effort towards building that work base of young people with technology skills, carpentry skills, electronics, those kind of things, so that we have a workforce available for the industries that might want to come in here. Certainly, I think that's the direction down in the city of Anderson. And I'd like to see the rest of the county just take on that can-do attitude. Hopefully with the election and new people on each one of these boards and these seats, maybe we'll have a change of attitude where we can come forward and God help us, if we have the proper president, we can actually move forward after this election. I want to remind you also that if you're not registered to vote, you need to do that, and you need to vote in this election. Probably never more important. And I know we always say that, but I do believe if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. We'll be back in the next hour with Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Please join us. And this is KCNR 1460 AM radio.
Community talk radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Hundreds of thousands are without power in Florida as Hurricane Matthew skims along the state's Atlantic coast. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate appearing on NBC's Today Show.
The storm surge has been the principal damage and also the principal risk to loss of life.
And not only in Florida, but also in Georgia, warned President Obama this past hour at the White House.
Those of you who live in Georgia, I think, should be paying attention because there's been a lot of emphasis on Florida, but this thing is going to keep on moving north through Florida into South Carolina.
For some who disobeyed evacuation orders, calling for help now may fall on deaf ears, at least in Brevard County, Florida. That's where emergency management spokesman David Waters says they've had to tell people calling that at this point they're on their own.
Nobody can go out to help people at the mandatory evacuation zones because the conditions are too dangerous. In fact, at midnight, Brevard County Fire Rescue pulled its firefighters and paramedics off the road.
The death toll that Matthew left behind in Haiti is hovering at the 300 mark, expected to rise now. Leslie Clerville with the international relief organization Food for the Poor is inside a local Haitian school building where some people managed to find shelter.
This school is being used right now to shelter families. People got no place to go, no place to live right.
If you'd like to help with those relief efforts, more information can be found at the website srnnews.com. Colombian President Juan Manuel Santos awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for his efforts to end the civil war.
He dedicated it to all Colombians, especially the victims of the long conflict.
That's Joshua Goodman reporting from Bogota. The latest report from the Labor Department, lackluster, but economist Gus Fouché says it is strong enough to keep the Fed on track for an interest rate hike.
This is what the Federal Reserve would like to see from the labor market, and this solidifies the case for a increase in interest rates when the Federal Open Market Committee meets in December.
More on these stories at townhall.com.
It started at bunco night. A little tickle my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
When man stops believing in God, he'll believe in anything. Torchbearer follows the Duck Commander, Phil Robertson, as he argues the absurdity of life without God.
Human civilization's best chance of survival is to anchor itself in the God of creation. God created man and woman in his image. We are image bearers of God.
Torchbearer. This film is not yet rated. In select theaters, October 7th. More information is available at torchbearermovie.com.
Police in India arresting 70 people and now investigating hundreds more in an IRS tax scam.
9 call centers near Mumbai were raided by Indian authorities where employees were charged with impersonating IRS workers. The workers allegedly threatened victims in the U.S. with arrest if they didn't pay. CNN reports these call centers were making as much as $150,000 per day. Phone scams have been a major issue for the IRS. At hearings earlier this year, several members of Congress and the IRS commissioner said even they had received phone calls from scammers.
That is Linda Kenyon reporting. A Chinese company has unveiled its completed automotive glassmaking plant in southwest Ohio, which serves as its North American hub for recycled glass manufacturing. The company spent roughly $450 million to convert the former GM factory in Moraine near Dayton, which was shuttered back in 2008. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Three archaeological treasures damaged or destroyed by fighting in Syria and Iraq have been reproduced for a UNESCO-sponsored exhibit at the Roman Colosseum.
The exhibit features life-size replicas of the Temple of Bel at Palmyra, the human-headed bull at Nimrud, and the Royal Archives at Ebla. Three Italian companies, guided by archaeologists and art historians, used technologies including 3D printers and materials mimicking sandstone and marble to reconstruct the artifacts. Islamic State militants destroyed ruins of the 2,000-year-old Temple of Bel in Palmyra in August 2015 and bulldozed the archaeological site at Nimrud in Iraq a few months earlier. The Royal Archives at Ebla, including thousands of cuneiform tablets, have suffered extensive damage during Syria's war.
That's Keith Peters reporting. The British pound endured one of its biggest ever falls today. Various reasons have been cited. Some say a trader may have made a so-called fat finger mistake while typing up a market order. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Your Halloween adventure begins with Wind River Resort and Casino's Under Construction Halloween Bash, featuring the well-known hip-hop duo Ying Yang Twins, performing Salt Shaker, Wait, the Whisper Song, What's Happening, and Bad. Plus, TBJ Chris will be spinning live beats all night long. The Under Construction Adventure kicks off on Saturday, October 29th at 9 o'clock. Drink specials, dancing, cash drawings, costume contest, over $3,000 in cash and prizes. Presale general admission is $20, $25 day of show. VIP booth $250 includes six guests, swag, cocktail service, and two bottles of champagne. This signature event sells out fast. Get your tickets now, 1-800-280-YOU-WIN, or online at windriver.com. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place to be for your under-construction Halloween adventure. Don't forget to check out our hotel packages. Must be 21 to attend. For details, log on to windriver.com. We offer our guests a free safe ride courtesy shuttle home. Halloween is better at the river.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. It's Friday, and this is Trish Clark. Welcome you back to another hour with me, and hopefully our guest, Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who we're waiting to call in, and hopefully that's going to happen sooner rather than later. And so it's 50 degrees in downtown Reading. Going to be 87 today and a low of 56. Saturday, a high of 86 and a low of 57. On Sunday, 86 and a low of 57. Looking to stay that way pretty much through the weekend. No rain in sight until maybe midweek. A chance of showers, partly sunny, with a high near 67 on Wednesday of next week. So it might go down just a bit. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. We're still waiting for Congressman LaMalfa to call in, but we do have a caller on the phone, so we'll go to Vint on line one.
Good morning.
Good morning, Vint. How can I help you?
Well, I just I heard your comments and wanted to throw a couple things in there.
Please do.
As far as the issue on what we have to do with the homeless and, you know, the issue about storing goods and, you know, giving 7-day you know, comments as far as we'll come back and get rid of you after 7 days or whatever the issue is. We actually gave them some solutions. I actually spoke at one of the crime meetings and made it very clear that the way to avoid that is to lease that property to organizations, the VFW, CVAC, number of organizations would lease those properties, those city properties, for $1 a year. They wouldn't be able to develop. They wouldn't. They could be canceled at any time, so on. But that would make them private property.
There you
go. At that time, we would be able to call the chief and, you know, RPD and say, hey, we've got somebody squatting on our property. We need them off immediately. They could be taken off immediately. They wouldn't have to store the property. You know, to me, it was a creative solution to, you know, address a situation that we're really having a hard time with. We did the same thing with the, you know, 64-bed versus 128-bed. Making it to where we could actually lease some of that additional beds initially to other counties instead of renting theirs. But that's really the problem. I mean, they've had it in their minds that they wanted to get this tax through for a while, and so they didn't really want to think outside the box, and they didn't want to be creative about addressing this because, you know, they had a plan. So it's kind of sad, and I hear you talking about, you know, some of the issues that they're facing and so on. These are issues that need to be creatively overcome and not just throwing money at.
Well, and Ben, I so agree with you, and I think in order to solve this, this is not an issue that's unique to Redding and Shasta County.
Absolutely not.
We've got communities dealing with this all over. Some of them are, in fact, dealing with it creatively enough that they're actually solving it.
Yeah.
But you've got to think outside the box, and just trying to figure out how we can maybe put up temporary housing for them or build them a place to be during the day or build them a place to sleep, that isn't the answer. We've got to figure out a way to get them out of that situation.
But it is the answer if you are trying to continually leverage what's in yours and my pocket.
Yeah.
And basically that's the premise here. They just keep finding ways to, you know, and it's only the price of a cup of coffee, and it's only the price of a movie ticket, and, you know, but it just continually adds up to the point where we look back over 10 years and think, oh my God, how did we get to this point? But you're right. It's absolutely not unique to our community. That comes with the unfunded pensions. That comes with the homeless. That comes with the crime. It's throughout our nation at this point, and especially throughout our state. So, I mean, we're in a position where people are going to really have to wake up and realize that solution of just pulling out your checkbook and writing a check and saying, you know, okay, I've addressed the problem, that's over. Now it comes with your vote. So, thanks for the time.
Okay, thanks so much for calling in, Vin. Okay, we are joined now by Congressman Doug LaMalfa. Good morning, Doug.
Well, good morning.
This is Trish Clark this morning.
I saw you on Facebook talking about this, Trish.
Okay, very good. So you're back in our area of the world?
This is all of our area, isn't it?
Well, exactly, but I mean, you're not back in Washington, D.C.
Yes, ma'am. Been home about a week. Now it's the election season here, so we're doing that as well as the business of the district. So, yeah, it's all coming to a head here. You doing good?
I'm doing good. I really am. And one of the things, now I want you to help me understand as I look at why we can, why in all the time that Mr. Obama has been in office, have we been in a position, and maybe longer than that, but we don't actually ever pass a budget. We pass a continuing resolution to continue us for a period of time, but we don't ever seem to do the things as laid out in our Constitution.
Yeah, that's a high source of frustration to me. The Speaker himself would much rather pass the budget process, but getting the agreement, by the time you get it through a House and a Senate, puts something on the President's desk. It's an amazing feat these days, the way things are so polarized. So,
why is that when we control, because the frustration, I think, of the people, and you hear it all the time, is that we control both houses. Now, the argument that he's just going to veto it doesn't weigh well with most of us.
I'm happy to put stuff on the President's desk and let him veto it.
Absolutely.
Veto, and he can explain to the American people why he's vetoing what looks like sensible proposals, whether it's budget or the Iran nuclear deal or
whatever.
Obamacare modification or repeal, he can explain all it, but we have a very, very difficult time getting much of what we do past the Senate because there's, and this is I know this is a source of frustration for conservative leading people, is that, well, you guys have the majority not only in the House but in the Senate. Well, the House, we pass good bills pretty much all week long and send them to the Senate and then say, well, what's wrong with that Mitch McConnell? Like, well, Mitch doesn't have 60 votes, he has 54. 60 votes is what's required to pass most issues in the Senate.
It isn't just a majority.
It's a simple majority, not the Senate supermajority, you might call it, requires 60 for cloture votes. So that means the Democrats have to supply at least 6 votes to join with 54 Republicans to move a bill.
Mm.
So other than one called budget reconciliation. Now, you might have seen Paul Ryan yesterday talking about that if we can get Trump in the White House, then we're going to do a ton of stuff on budget reconciliation, meaning that's a procedure by which you are able to modify within certain constraints. It's not as wide open as just passing a bill. But with 51 votes instead of 60, you can move a bill through the Senate that has to do with, reconciling budget items. And so we actually were able to do that about a year ago, following up on the budget with elements in it that had much of the underpinnings of Obamacare were being repealed. Some of the tax increases, they had a direct nexus to the budget. So it was a good bill. Mm-hmm. It also had a defunding of Planned Parenthood completely, because we were able to muster 51 votes in the Senate to do a defund of Planned Parenthood in a direct budget measure. So we got that to the president's desk after. It was a good bill when it left the House. They watered it down a little bit in the Senate, but they also actually added a couple good things that we didn't think they would do, so it was great. Goes to the president, and about 3 or 4 hours later, he vetoes it. So it kind of shows the blueprint is you got to have all three legs to do really good things. We're able to, you know, do some marginal things because we have the president won't even hardly talk to us on Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
So,
He's too busy. He's too busy doing the illegal things on his own to bother with what you people are doing down there.
Executive orders that we then have to find a way to unwind. For example, the Supreme Court here the other day upheld that it's not going to change and go in favor of the president on his illegal immigration policy he was trying to do down on the southern border.
Exactly.
With free flow of... the executive orders frustrate all of us, but as it finally winds through the court, when we and others hold him accountable with the litigation, more times than not, he loses in court. But it just, it looks terrible, and it looks like because we can't pass it legislatively, because we don't have the numbers to get every bill through the Senate, then it stalls a lot. So that's my frustration, as well as the people that observe it.
Okay, so we have a call now from someone calling in. Donna has a question for you. Donna?
Yes.
Go ahead with your question for Congressman LaMalfa.
Oh, I appreciate you being on the radio today, and thank you for representing us in Washington, D.C. Question is in regard to something called TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership Commission, and this sounds really serious. Is there any way that it can be stopped?
Yeah, great question here. There's always so much misinformation around that because there was legislation, a little over a year ago now, called TPA, which sets the ground rules for how trade will be done, and it includes Congress's approval of a trade deal, which you want. You want us to have a say on it because we're directly accountable to you, and it gives you an opportunity to read any trade deal. So TPA was... the process for which any deal negotiated, instead of having them negotiated in secret and just agreed to, TPA brings it back, puts it in print, has a period of time for us to review as your representatives in front of the American people. So now TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, they sound like similar letters, so that's why people get a little flustered on that, but they're complete different things. TPA, again, is the ground rules for doing any trade deal. TPP is the one that has to do with, as you said, Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's Pacific Rim countries and the U.S. on the trade that will happen amongst those several countries and us. So at this point, I am not going to support the TPP. Other misconceptions around that is that people say, you guys have already approved it, you already voted for it. No, there hasn't even been a vote on it yet. The time clock just started recently where the president has asked for a vote, and with the time clock being such as it is, it will not happen during this fall cycle. And if it were to come to a floor, which Speaker Ryan says he's not going to bring it to the floor, it will not have the votes. It's a bipartisan dislike of the measure. So that said, there's trade is good. We need trade with as many partners as possible. It needs to be on terms that are as favorable to the U.S. as well. There's issues with environmental be detrimental to us, labor regulation that could be detrimental to the American economy, issues of patent law and intellectual property. And some of the ag guys like it. I have some people, ag people clamoring for me, hey, this would be great for us, but other ag people don't like it. Personally, it has to be good for pretty good for everybody for me to agree to it, and I at this point am not going to agree to a TPP until at very least it's renegotiated, or maybe it's broken down into smaller pieces that are more manageable, because this is a giant document, and that's kind of dangerous when you have legislation that's so many pages that it's really hard to unwind what all the effects will be.
We've seen the effects of that. Thanks so much, Donna, for your question. And, Doug, we're going to take a quick break.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Tri-Counties Bank presents Walk in the Park. With a Pomeranian, a Dachshund, a Golden Retriever, and a Pug, Brandon always has his hands full. No matter where he goes, he can always rely on Tri-Counties Bank's service with solutions, even when he's on the run. He can easily fetch the cash he needs at more than 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs nationwide, make smartphone check deposits in a flash, and check his finances online from a park bench while the dogs check out the squirrels. With convenient access to his accounts, branches throughout Northern and Central California, and real bankers to call 7 days a week, Brandon's finances are a walk in the park. Over 25,000 surcharge-free ATMs, mobile and online banking, service that's always by your side. For personalized problem solving anywhere, switch to Tri-Counties Bank. Tri-Counties Bank. Service with solutions. Member FDIC.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with me, John Whitmarsh from Access Mortgage. We know how to say approved. I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience. So call me today at 945-9660. Let's get you into your dream home.
Access Mortgage is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 1096314.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Reading Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Reading more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Reading Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you. Powerful together.
Welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. This is Trish Clark, and we have on the line with us Congressman Doug LaMalfa, who's taking the time to answer some questions that are coming in from and update us on guest issues in general. We have one question, Doug, from the chat room. They're wondering what your opinion of Obama's trying to get rid of the private for-profit prisons. Will that have an impact on crime, and do you think that's a good idea?
I think any place you can house prisoners is a good thing. So what California had when we quit building the prison space that was needed with a growing population and, at the time, growing crime rate, which now we're going to see again because of AB 109, Prop 47, and now Prop 57 on the ballot, more out on the streets. We need prison space operated at low cost, lower cost than what we have. So what happened was a state legislator, some of that was going to out-of-state, to either private prisons out-of-state or some other state institutions across the country. We were actually farming out, as I recall, about 1,000 or so prisoners.
Many prisoners.
So what do? We start closing them down here at home and bringing them back home to close down prisons, actually bringing them back to our jails. It makes no sense. So if there's an outlet, and the other states are actually able to run them a little more cheaply, per prisoner than what California was doing. So I'm not in favor of shutting them down. I think we need to have all the tools on board because the first consideration needs to be public safety. And where it is, you're going to warehouse prisoners that have earned their keep where they are in prison. By the time getting a conviction on a felony, there's probably two or three felonies they skated on or didn't get caught for.
Exactly.
So and you'll just ask Sheriff Basenko about that with how his jail and all of our other rural jails are impacted by higher-level criminals being dumped out of federal prisons and telling them to house them at the jail level. Now people a person stealing a car, do they even spend the whole night in jail after they're booked? Or they
no, they beat the
put
cop
out on
out
the
of,
O.R.?
They beat them out on the street before the officer has an opportunity to do the paperwork.
A deputy told me that they beat them home. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And we've already proven that government doesn't do anything better than private enterprise.
Not much.
I mean, like, there's just not a lot of evidence out there that we could do anything better or cheaper. Another question that came out of the chat room, there was a vote recently or not too long back about in the House to impeach John Keskey.
That's the IRS.
Is that the IRS guy?
Chair, yeah. He deserves it because he was both arrogant and not truthful in a previous committee hearing some months ago.
How did that vote go?
It didn't make it to a vote. A couple of members brought it up and then withdrew it before this. It was called a privilege vote, which means it's required to come to the floor for a vote within 48 hours. But they chose after you're reading the tea leaves on it to go ahead and withdraw it. They made their point on it and bringing it up that this guy needs to be looked at really hard. So we did have an interview. There's a Republican study committee is what it's called. It's a conservative association of House Republican members that I sat in on that hearing. And he was a lot more contrite in that conversation than I saw him in committee. And he said, well, I just want to have a chance. So it slowed down the process, and Ways and Means, but the Judiciary Committee was going to have more direct hearings was the intention with him there to have him speak his piece in public, because what was probably going to come of it was that, oh, it's unfair, he didn't have his say in the public process where he was defending his own actions instead of talking about IRS actions. So the members that brought that forward, Mr. Fleming and Mr. Heelskamp, decided to pull it back because they didn't see it being successful at all with with that process. So, but the guy is certainly deserving of having much more scrutiny from his bad attitude and from the behavior of the IRS. So, but it's really hard with any entrenched government agency or organization. These things take on a life of their own, and unfortunately, they're hard to tame.
Yes, yes, I think that the frustration that you as a member back there must be feeling has got to be twofold and threefold of what we feel as citizens back here. I get to the point where I can't even watch it because I just want to kill somebody.
Somehow the Lord has blessed me with the patience to be my patience runs out in traffic and at stoplights, okay?
Is that right? Now, see, and I can do that all day long, but sitting there with what's going on back there on a regular basis and knowing what's right and how wrong what's happening is and not being able to even get things to a vote or follow anywhere near the procedures that have been accepted that we've all become accustomed to for so many years. In this last 7.5 years, they've just thrown everything out the window.
Well, I got to admit to you, Trish, I was in a pretty foul mood going back for the final 2 weeks of September session because I could see there was a whole bunch of work, a whole bunch of legislation and other things that needed to get done that I was working on personally and was not going to get done in this session because, you know, time runs out and stalling this and that. It's just really hard. And we lost 3 floor days due to the Democrats and their sit-in trying to force a gun vote.
Yeah.
When, you know, the same process you're talking about, you know, read the Constitution, read the House rules. There's a procedure to get a vote on it. They actually did get a vote on their anti-gun bill in a committee amendment in the Rules Committee. And guess what? They didn't have the numbers to pass their amendment. So that's
That's our republic right there.
That's our process. Follow it and get out of the way.
So they would rather have grandstanding on it, and they actually had that sit-in on the House floor for about 3 days. And I was in there. I went in there just right after they concluded there, and you should have seen the condition of the House floor. There was garbage. There was paper laid around. There was newspapers laying around. It looked like they had basically been camping there, but then they didn't pick up after themselves. They expected the House staff to clean up after it. They were actually rude to the members of the House, the folks that run the floor.
Uh-huh.
The staff was there too. So it's pretty amazing what the attitude is, all because they have a self-righteous idea that we need to do something about gun violence.
Well, and that kind of permeates through the attitude of this entire United States, and I think where the people are right now is we're tired of that attitude. We're going to take a break here.
That's why you see in the nomination process that Bernie Sanders, but for the superdelegate rigging the Democrats do, may well have been their nominee. He's been a longtime insider, but he's seen as an outsider.
Absolutely.
And Donald Trump was a complete outsider, was able to beat all the other Republican nominees. People are fed up with the same old stuff. So this is the byproduct of that.
Okay, so we're going to take a break right now. And when we come back, we have a question from the chat room I'll give you an opportunity to think about. And they want to know what you think your three biggest accomplishments that have directly affected the North State in the last 2 years.
Okay.
We'll take your answer when we come back after the break.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Joe McKenna from CloudWise Academy. I learned a lot the hard way about internet marketing. Every month, I'll help you take control of how the internet impacts your business and your revenue. You'll hear the latest tech news from the digital world, but most importantly, get your tech and marketing questions answered. Learn what you need to know to manage the tech side of your business as effectively as you manage everything else. It's your chance to get those important questions answered. Join us for the Digital Revolution Radio Show every fourth Wednesday at KCNR 1460.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Redding Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Redding more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Redding Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you. Powerful together.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Please jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. Our guest this hour is Congressman Doug LaMalfa, and I gave him a question just as we were going to the break, about telling us what he thought his two or three biggest accomplishments that directly affected the North State in the last 2 years. So, Congressman LaMalfa.
Trish, let's talk about veterans for a minute here, okay?
Okay.
I think, we have a very large, important veterans population in the North State, and they've been... When I was a state legislator, we would get calls to the office, hey, what can you do about the VA? And it said, you know, we're sorry, we can't do a whole lot. You know, on the state level, there's certain things we can do with Veterans Affairs. But so we came in as a federal legislator. My team and I, we've been able to tackle a lot of pretty serious issues that have been frustrating for veterans and getting the attention they need with getting their claims heard. And actually getting the health care delivered that they need in a lot of cases.
And that's an important thing for you to concentrate on.
We've made up a lot of ground on that there. We've worked to hold the VA accountable, and there's a long ways to go because they're still defying Congress. We passed the CHOICE Act, which gives veterans, is supposed to give veterans a much shorter timeline in waiting for health care and have them be able to be, to use more local facilities. If the line's too long or the distance is too far, they can take it to private health vendors instead of having to go way down to Martinez or something like that.
Right.
So that was important, but it hasn't worked well enough yet, and I'm as frustrated with them. We've worked at, you know, we've been to some of the veterans' monthly meetings they have there in Reading and asked them, how come you're not delivering this option to the veterans? Oh, we are. No, they're not. So if they're willing to defy us like that, then we have more to do in Congress, because if they're defying me, who's the most direct representative of the people to Washington, D.C., then how are they treating veterans with that? So
that's exactly right.
We moved the ball on that. We've helped a lot of individuals get through the process. And I think the biggest thing is that a lot of veterans in the community, they talk to each other and say, you know what? We didn't know about Doug or what he was going to do, if he really cared about this, but there's a network of people talking to each other, say, hey, they will fight for results for us. So in that sense, if veterans feel like they have more hope and they have somebody that's going to represent it for them and fight for them, then that's pretty important, because what we have in this country is 22 per day commit suicide because they give up on whether they're going to be, you know, homeless anymore or get the benefits they need or health care or PTSD treatment, whatever it's going to be, that they give up. And that's shameful.
It's unacceptable, and we've got to get those numbers down. Okay,
A couple other things. We keep fighting on forestry management, forestry legislation. We have a good bill. We managed to get through the House. I'm a co-sponsor on. It's over in the Senate now. It's gotten through their first committee. So homework assignment for your listeners, call Senator Feinstein, Senator Boxer, and want them to tell them to move this forestry bill. Senator Feinstein has in the past been a supporter of forestry legislation, or she says she is. This one's called H.R. 2647. Call her office. Remind her of the Quincy Library Group, which was a timber-related thrust a couple decades ago, to pass that bill. So call your senators. But we haven't finished on that yet. So we want to get better forest management. We keep fighting with the Forest Service to do their job. So I wouldn't call that an accomplishment.
For 40 years, Doug.
Right. And on water legislation, one of the things I'm happy with is that every discussion of water by us federal legislators on state issues is that we include in legislation I push for to make sure we have area of origin water rights, which means us in the North are protected first with whatever process, whatever water policy may come out of the process. So, you know, they've accepted that. It's not like, okay, we're going to get a water grab by getting this deal done. Like, nope. LaMalfa and even Wally Herger before me, we've all fought.
The area of origin.
Sure NorCal water is protected first. And lastly, on infrastructure in the North State, working in a bipartisan fashion, we've got important water flood control projects that have been in the works for years and years and years. One right down in Glenn County, south end of Butte County. And infrastructure on our highways, where we had money that was stranded in some other fund, we were able to get that transferred and get highway funding for Butte County and Shasta County freed up that had been in limbo due to them calling it an earmark and you can't move an earmark. Well, we worked past that with the highway legislation, so we're going to keep these projects on course so we see that I-5 continue to have improvements and some of our other state highways that can apply for those funds. And improve traffic flow because that's important for commerce. It's important for quality of life. It's important to attract other businesses to our area here. So they see, hey, you got a good transportation infrastructure. If you have a good health plan, if you have good schools, and that makes you pretty attractive to pull some of these industries into NorCal. So that's some of it. You know, so we haven't repealed Obamacare yet, but we've certainly taken a lot of votes on that and demonstrated the American people that if we get a Republican president, we can do things to not just repeal, but replace it with something that actually works for people. So there's a lot of cogs in the wheel and in the whole pattern, you know, that we need to be successful in the House, the Senate, and with the White House working with us instead of ignoring us.
Yeah. Well, and I certainly understand that. And I talked a little bit in the first hour, Doug, about Obamacare, and it seems to me that it has played out exactly as it was planned. And that it was doomed to fail, and that's how it was set up, and they're now going to try to go to the next step, the next logical step, and the only way that can be done is, and that's a single-payer system.
That's for the Democrats, it's single-payer.
That's it. That's their plan and has been from the very beginning. I have to laugh that they think we're so stupid that we don't recognize what Bill Clinton and some of them are doing now as they're going out there and saying, well, gee, it hasn't worked, and now we're just going to have to go to a single-payer system. That wasn't the plan altogether.
I'm sure it is for the Dems, and it was our prediction from the beginning. Like,
exactly.
There's no way that this Obamacare can work as is. The numbers don't add up, and they're tapping everything for money to try and make it prop up, you know, fiscally wise. So the $2,500 savings per household, per family, was what it was projected. Now we've seen instead a $3,700 increase, no savings.
So keep your doctor if you want your doctor. No, you can't.
Yeah, the biggest lie of the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, one after another, and certainly, but you know, and I remind people that certainly is the Democratic plan. We hope we put a cog in that.
Yeah, because it really doesn't help the health situation in this country. We need to have options for people, and options are being taken away, especially for rural people. Rehab might only, maybe only one option. With the co-ops collapsing in all the different states, it's like a self-perpetuating prophecy, really, in that they have brought it upon us and now say, well, hey, the only way we can do this is by going to single payer. You know, well, that's... we're not going to do that. We're going to fight that tooth and nail. But if the voters give us Hillary Clinton, our job is just...
going to be almost insurmountable. I don't know that.
Getting something positive done, yeah, very difficult. We can be a break on it. We can be an obstacle, obstruction, whatever you want to call it, which is our job at that point. Because if I'm sitting there with a belief system and they see them trying to do that, you bet I'm going to obstruct, put the brakes on as much as possible. And I'd like to do something positive for, again, I always come back to forestry because we're surrounded by it in this district here. And we live with the effects, like right now and all summer. Why can't we just do simple things like manage forests, build water supply, rebuild our infrastructure for transportation? We need more broadband and high-speed access to our rural areas, so our hospitals, our schools.
How can the federal government help us do that? We desperately need the broadband, the internet connection for a county the size of Shasta, specifically, and the incorporated cities and what we call the SCUR area. And still, even in Redding and Anderson, and just I-5 between Anderson and Redding, you lose internet connection. That's absolutely unacceptable.
Part of my deal is the government's not supposed to do it for you or for them, but is remove the barriers that would cause them to not do it. So there's costs that are driven. I mean, we had a bill earlier this year that was going to tax internet access. Well, how's that going to help anybody? So we're able to put a stop to that. The taxation for laying cable wire is...
The hoops they have to jump through are horrendous.
It makes it extra difficult to get that done. So there's things that are economically feasible. And sometimes they say, well, the last mile is really expensive, meaning the last mile to the last house in the rural area.
Right.
Again, that's an economic decision, but most of these smaller towns could be tapping into it, or at least in the concentrated area of the small towns where it makes sense.
I live in Anderson. Mm-hmm. We're not that far off the hub, and I don't have cell phone access at my house, right in the city of Anderson.
Really?
I know it's just incredible the inability of of us to provide that. But you're right. When I talk to the people that provide those services, they say it's because it's not cost effective when you figure in all the state, local, and federal permits that you have to get to do those things. So you're right.
And then the
government needs to get out of the way.
And the taxation they have upon the lines once they're in the ground, they tax that as the same as a real property.
All right.
Just by having a line buried underground. I can see a one-time fee, but all these things make it uncompetitive for, like, our cable companies. They complain about that because Dish doesn't have that kind of tax. Well, a lot of this is going to have to be done by cable for the higher speed, communications, whether it's broadband and other forms. So these are things we can do to get government out of the way and say, let the private sector determine what the market is of bringing that to more and more areas, and we'll all thrive much more by having that. So
exactly. Okay, we're gonna take our final break of
this. Hey, Chris, yeah. Chris, I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to bail out because I got appointments this morning. I'm gonna have to run too, but I appreciate you having me on here. This morning is gonna be coffee with a cop, and so I'm looking forward to that. And we need to do a lot more to tell our people in law enforcement we do appreciate them, and that all the hype that's going on in the media is a narrow section of society. And so this is an opportunity I'm going to have this morning to just say, hey, you know what? We do appreciate you. You're doing the best you can under trying circumstances. So, you know, maybe your listeners, if you have a chance, go out and invite a cop to coffee in your area there.
And when you see him, thank him for their service. And thanks so much, Congressman LaMalfa.
Thanks for having me on.
Good talking to you, and thanks for keeping us informed.
You bet. We'll see you soon.
All right. We'll be right back after this break.
In a year that's been so contentious, there is one issue on the November ballot, Proposition 52, that's achieved consensus. Here's why. Since 2009, California hospitals willingly pay a Medi-Cal hospital fee to continue receiving federal matching funds for Medi-Cal. This generates over $3 billion a year from Washington and helps pay for health care for children, seniors, and low-income families. Prop 52 means zero consumer cost, no new taxes, and strictly prohibits the legislature from diverting this money. Prop 52 continues this current program. It's endorsed by doctors and nurses, business and labor, and both political parties. And newspapers agree. 52 is endorsed by the LA Times, San Francisco Chronicle, and the Sacramento and Fresno Bee. Tested, tried, and true. Vote yes on 52. Paid for by Yes on Proposition 52, a coalition of California Association of Hospitals and Health Systems and nonprofit healthcare organizations, with major funding by California Health Foundation and Trust and Dignity Health.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media sound bites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
What shall we do about them?
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore with the NorCal Sports Hour. Tune in every Tuesday at 6 here on KCNR 1460 for all things Warriors, Kings, A's, Giants, Niners, and Raiders, as well as all your local high school standouts. Get your NorCal Sports Fix every Tuesday at 6 on the NorCal Sports Hour here on KCNR 1460 and KCNR1460.com.
Hi, this is David Jackson with Redding Electric Utility. 2016 marks REU's 95th year serving our community's power needs. October 2nd through the 8th, join us in celebrating the benefits of community-owned public power during National Public Power Week. Did you know REU saves Redding more than $30 million annually? That money stays right here in our community. Celebrate your Redding Electric Utility. Celebrate community-owned public power. Like us on Facebook and visit us at reupower.com for more information. REU and you. Powerful together.
When the work's all done and the sunset glow, pull out the fiddle and rosin up the bow.
And welcome back to KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio for the North State. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. Congresswoman LaMalfa had to leave us for another appointment. Didn't get to the information about the lame duck session coming up after the election. We'll talk about that in just a minute. This portion of the show is brought to us by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur in Redding, California. Is our firearms dealer of choice when it comes to selecting that new long gun or pistol, having their gunsmith work on our guns, or buying ammo. John Bastiani prides himself on customer service and always having what the customers need in stock and at fair prices. Give them a call at 222-8222. We've been talking about a lot of different things here this morning. Congressman LaMalfa did give us an update on some of the things that he thinks he's been have made an important difference to the North State, and I concur with most of what he had to say. My problem, and he's expressed the same frustration, is that, you know, before leaving town, Congress passed yet another bill that funds government until December 9th. And they're, by doing that, they set up that out-of-control spending during the lame duck session. Many of those members of Congress at that point are no longer accountable to the American people. It seems that I'm kind of paraphrasing here. It seems immoral for lawmakers who may be retiring or voted out of office to pass substantive legislation that doesn't represent the will of the people. A quote from, I think I picked this up from the Heritage Foundation. The lame duck session is the most unaccountable period of legislating, resulting in shady backroom deals and undermining the fundamental nature of representative democracy by weakening the accountability link between members of the Congress and the American people. They kind of go in behind closed doors and do all kinds of things. You know, since Obama has been in office, we haven't done, as I mentioned to Congressman LaMalfa earlier in the session, we haven't done a budget. We haven't done things according to the way the American people are. We're supposed to go in and if it's a funding bill, it's supposed to originate in the House. It's supposed to be sent to the Senate and then passed to the governor or the president's desk. That never happens. They get together behind closed doors. They cut deals that the rest of the members don't know anything about, and then they go through all kinds of histrionics to get it into a form that the president will agree to before they actually send it to him. And if he hasn't agreed to it, they don't even bother sending it. That's unheard of. He has vetoed, or his veto has been overridden one time. Are you kidding me? That doesn't make any sense. One time in his entire term, he had his veto overridden. Every Congress has done it. The 113th Congress in 2014, they returned for a lame duck session to fund government programs. And at the end of a 50-day session, they passed 11 regular appropriation bills and 3 continuing resolutions. They're not doing their job. They just keep pushing the ball down the field and without ever taking any action or doing anything to help us or cut government funding or control the limits or anything else that they've been called upon to do. I also read in the paper this morning where President Obama has taken it upon himself to pardon a whole bunch more people. You know, he has pardoned more people than the last 11 presidents together. What the heck is that about? I mean, he's letting all kinds of prisoners off. He's commuted another 102 prisoners. That's 774 computations. That's more than the last 11 presidents altogether. And of course, all these people, once they get out, they can all vote. And he just thinks we're too harsh on our prisoners. I'm so glad he's going out the door, but I'm still not convinced that he's going out without causing us yet more havoc. I don't know how the rest of you feel about it, but I don't think it's over yet. I think he's still capable of causing us a whole lot more harm in this country, and it worries me. I think that I don't think he's done, and I'm concerned about that. I wish we could just get him on a golf course someplace and not let him anywhere near the White House for the next so many days. We have football tonight. We've got a game being broadcast. Tell me again what game it is. It's Foothill at Enterprise, and it's going to be broadcast. Kyle DeFore, 7:30 this evening. High school football is great to listen to. It's fun. You can keep up on the different games, and I applaud KCNR for keeping up and giving us that local atmosphere to tune in to a different game each night. So tune in tonight at 7:30, Kyle DeFore. You know, final thoughts on this whole election and what have you coming up. It's a scary time we live in this United States. I hope that people out there are registered to vote and that you're going to take the time to not only concentrate on our local candidates, city, state, county, the many propositions. Find out who the candidates are, what they stand for, and if they're actually going to make a difference. And get out and vote and make sure, take it upon yourself to make sure that three or four or five of your friends that you don't think generally vote, take them to the polls. Call them up and remind them how important. I know a lot of people are Donald Trump maybe isn't their favorite person in the whole world, and maybe he is kind of obnoxious. And I know I have a dear friend that he really makes her crazy. But I remind her that the consequences are so dire. The judges, the courts, if nothing else, and doggone it, we know exactly what Hillary's going to do. And we don't know for sure what Donald Trump's going to do, but he has given us hope that it's not going to be business as usual. For me, it's enough to know that the establishment on both sides of the aisle, including the media, which is certainly part of that Washington establishment and the Washington cartel, as they refer to it, none of them like him, and that's good enough reason for me to support him. Because I think he is not going to be business as usual. He's going to go in there and perhaps actually take advice from people like the Heritage Foundation. He has certainly shown that indication, the list of people that he's willing to seat on the courts is admirable, and certainly any of the ones that are on that list would be better than anything that's going to come out of a Hillary camp. These are important times in our country, and if we hope to have any opportunity to turn it around and hopefully head in a different direction, we need a new president. And if it's just Hillary, we're in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen, and it's frightening to me. Probably, I said for a long time that I was of an age that probably wouldn't see the results of the Obama administration. That was early on in his administration, and things have changed so dramatically in just 7.5 years. I certainly am feeling the brunt of it, and I think if we get Hillary in there, we're all going to feel the brunt of it. I jokingly say that we could all be wearing burkas here before we know it, and I just wouldn't look good in a burka. I don't do hats. So I'm not looking forward to that, and I hope that people understand how serious this whole thing is and that you get out and vote. And get your friends to vote. Have a party that night and take a bunch of people down and get them to vote. Convince people how important it is to study the issues and not vote blind. There's opportunities to get on the internet. There's all kinds of places to find out about what those propositions mean. And bottom line, just get out and because if you're not part of the solution and part of the voting population, then you're part of the problem. We get the kind of government that we deserve. And if we're not willing to take the time and go to the polls and register our thoughts and our choices, then that's just a real sad state of affairs. Remind you also that on another note, there's lots going on this weekend. Look in the paper, see all the different places and organizations that are offering things. And you know what? As you go through the weekend and you maybe go out to Benton Air Park and look at that museum, be sure and take the time to thank those veterans and any of the police officers and first responders or firemen. Make it a point as you go through your daily life when you run into one of them, give them a smile and thank them for their service. They are the true heroes of our country. And without them, our country wouldn't be what it is. I'm proud to be an American and live in a county that recognizes our veterans on a daily basis. And just take the time to say thank you for your service, because it makes a big difference to them, puts a step light in there. It would be a terrible time to be a first responder, a police officer, or a fireman in this United States. My heart goes out to them and their families. Also, remember to keep the people that live back on the East Coast in your prayers, and that no real damage of life takes place any further. I think they've had one death in the United States from this storm. Keep them in your prayers, and thank you for joining us at KCNR 1460 AM Community Radio. It's been my pleasure to be your host, and see you next week, and thank you for joining us.
You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my...
Community Talk Radio for the North State is KCNR Shasta Redding, where the news is brought to you by Wind River Resort and Casino. It's better at the river.
Breaking news this hour from Poundhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. As Hurricane Matthew continues its northward trek along the Florida coast...
The big concern that people are having right now is the effects that it could have in areas like Jacksonville on through Georgia.
President Obama following developments from the White House. Currently, it's the calm before the storm in South Carolina, where Governor Nikki Haley is pleading with coastal residents not to take any chances.
This is the last time you will hear my voice when I'm asking you to evacuate. We need everybody to consider evacuating and really take this very seriously.
South Carolina officials say it looks like the hurricane will come closer to land than previously thought.
The storm will start working up toward the South Carolina coast tonight. It's expected to move just along, potentially even making landfall somewhere along the South Carolina coast sometime during the day tomorrow.
There is